Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's Prayer is called so because it comes to us directly from our Lord in two places in Scripture. One, in Luke chapter 11, in which his disciples come to Jesus in private to learn how to pray. And the other comes to us from Matthew 6, the reading that we had just heard, when Jesus is preaching his Sermon on the Mount. In both contexts, Jesus emphasizes the necessity of prayer. He uses these words, "When you pray." He does not say, "If you get around to praying," or "It's probably a good idea for you to consider praying from time to time." He simply says, "When you pray." So we must not let this first part be lost on us, because this is foundational to everything that we're going to hear during the midweek of Lent. Jesus assumes that you will be in prayer. It's not a suggestion or a request, but a command. This is the vocation that you've been given as a baptized child of God. This is what it means to live a life of faith in God and His promises. A life without prayer is a life without faith, and one without faith cannot be saved. Notice, I did not say that prayer saves you. That's ridiculous, of course. Faith saves you insofar as it clings to Christ in His finished work. But a life of prayer must follow this faith, for a life of prayer is what it means to live by faith. So in your baptism, you are given the gift, the invitation, the command to call upon Jesus' Father as if He is your Heavenly Father. And what a privilege it is to do so, because before and outside of Christ, you had no such promise that He would hear you. But now, in Christ, you have the guarantee, you have the certainty. The truth is that whenever we ask any serious Christian about their prayer lives, most will admit that they are terrible at it. Almost no one says that they are good at prayer. Almost no one says that they are consistent and disciplined in their prayer lives. Why is that? Prayer is so simple. And we here in the Lutheran tradition, we don't really have an excuse because we have tons of written prayers. So we don't have to think of them off the top of our heads. Why can it be so difficult? Well, the reason is because everything in us and outside of us conspires to keep us from praying. Our sinful flesh does not want us to pray. The devil does not want us to pray. The world does not want us to pray. And time would fail us to talk about all the ways that these forces outside of us keep us from praying. But we cannot really control those. So let's just consider our own sinful flesh. I think that there are two primary ways that our sinful nature keeps us from praying as we ought. The first is this. The old Adam, the sinful nature in us, hides from God in shame and condemnation, just like our father, Adam. Adam hid from the presence of the Lord whenever he sinned against God. Whenever he heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, he went and hid. He was ashamed. So we think, after the countless times I've sinned against God, why would he want to hear from me? He must be fed up with me. He probably has no time for me. There's no point in praying. Luther writes in the Large Catechism this. He says, "The human heart is by nature so hopeless that it always flees from God and imagines that He does not wish or desire our prayer because we are sinners and have earned nothing but wrath. Against such thoughts, I say, we should remember this commandment and turn to God so that we may not stir up His anger more by such disobedience." So the answer to our unworthiness is not invoking more of his wrath by refusing to pray. It's the opposite. It's turning to him in our unworthiness, remembering that we come to him not because of our own merits, but for the sake of Christ in his death and resurrection. If you pray only when you are worthy enough to do so, you never will. You do not pray because you've earned it or are worthy, but because God has commanded it. And because he has commanded it, you can say, with Luther, my prayer is as precious, holy, and pleasing to God as that of St. Paul or of the most holy saints. Yes, you are unworthy, but your prayer is pleasing to God because you are in Christ. Even though the old Adam wants you to run away from God and hide, you have been made sons and daughters who need the comfort, care, and consolation of your Father. Whenever you were a little child and you fell and you skinned your knees, you instinctively ran to your mom and dad. No one had to tell you that they were safe. You just did this. God invites us to do the same. He invites us to do the same with the opening line of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children. The invitation is built into the prayer. The God that commands you to pray is telling you that he will not turn you away when you come to him. He will treat you as a father treats his beloved child, always. You need not fear. And certainly don't wait until you're holy enough, because you never will be. He has provided for that in his Son, Jesus Christ, who has all the righteousness and all the worthiness that you need to pray boldly and confidently. Now, the second way that our sinful flesh hinders us from praying has more of a pious spin. We believe the lie that we have no need of anything. Now, on one hand, it's a good thing whenever I hear from fellow Christians that they do not need my prayers. You know, I ask, how can I pray for you? Oh, I'm good. All right. That's kind of a good thing, because everything's fine and they have no immediate needs. And what people usually mean whenever they turn down your prayer request is that you should save your prayers for someone who really needs it, and that they are content with what God has given. Now, believe me, I love hearing that in a sense. Like, I love hearing that everything's good with you and that you are doing well. But our sinful flesh has a way of grabbing onto that contentment and transforming it into an excuse not to pray. I've already got all I need, so I don't really need to ask God for anything. See? Sounds good and pious, but the old Adam here again is completely missing the point. You don't think that you need God's forgiveness every second? You don't think that you need him to constantly guard you and keep you from all evil and from the devil? You don't think that you need an extra measure of the Holy Spirit to hear and understand and apply God's holy word? You don't think that you need daily sustenance, good health, good weather, good government, and all the necessities of this body and life? There's always something to ask for. Now, you may say, he's going to give all those things to me without me even asking. And there's truth to that. But that's not the point. The point is, he wants you to ask him as a dear child asks his or her dear father. And because God wants you to do something, it's good enough reason to do it, and to do it often. So don't let the fact that you have plenty deter you from your duty to ask him for what you need all the same. Luther says, for we all have enough things that we lack. The great problem is that we don't feel this or recognize this. Therefore, God also requires that you weep and ask for such needs and wants, not because he does not know about them, but so that you may kindle your hearts to stronger and greater desires and make wide and open your cloak to receive much. So despite the great lengths that your sinful flesh will go to keep you from praying and to keep you from your God-given vocation, you have all the motivation that you need. You have everything that you need to keep at it, even though everything in this world conspires against you in this way. You don't pray because you feel like it. You don't pray because it's fun and convenient. You pray because of the command and promise of God. He commands you to do it, and He promises to hear you. When it comes to the Lord's Prayer, we are truly left without excuse. Jesus Himself, our great high priest, who intercedes for us perfectly at God's right hand, has given us the very words to use. Now, we certainly want to use other forms of prayer often, but the Lord's Prayer, this is our baseline. This is the prayer that we pray most often. This is our meat and potatoes, as it were. Luther said, we love the Lord's Prayer, and we pray it daily because it has this excellent testimony that God loves to hear it. We ought not to surrender this for all the riches of the world. When we pray these words, brothers and sisters, we are truly praying in Jesus' name, in accordance with His will and His work. These are words and petitions that God loves to hear and promises to answer for you. Outside of Christ, you have no right to take up these words, let alone gain an audience with the God of the universe. But now, because of your baptism, now because you are united with Christ in His death and His resurrection, you have the words. You have the words. And you have the boldness and the confidence. You have the vocation to come to your Father, to come to Him with all that you are and lay it at His feet and say, here I am, Lord. And He promises to hear you. In the name of Jesus, amen.